welcome to this special Italian wine podcast broadcast. This episode is a recording off Clubhouse, the popular drop-in audio chat. This Clubhouse session was taken from the Wine Business Club and Italian Wine Club. Listen in as wine lovers and experts alike engage in some great conversation on a range of topics in wine. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through ItalianWinePodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. And remember to subscribe and rate our show wherever you tune in.
Before the show, here's a shout out to our new sponsor, Ferro Wine. Ferro Wine has been the largest wine shop in Italy since 1920. They have generously supplied us with our new t-shirt. Would you like one? Just donate 50 euros and it's all yours. Plus, we'll throw in our new book, Jumbo Shrimp Guide to International Grape Varieties in Italy. For more info, go to italianwinepodcast.com and click donate, or check out Italian Wine Podcast on Instagram.
Hello, my name is Stevie Kim, and welcome to Italian Wine Club. We usually run our weekly room on Thursdays, 8 p.m. Central European Time. However, today it's 7 p.m. in fact, Central European Time. In fact, the next few weeks, we shall be hosting a new series called Ambassador's Corner, where Italian wine ambassadors and wine lovers will be interviewing their favorite Italian wine producer. Last week, a few of you had participated in the call and nominated a few, actually quite a few. And we will be rolling out this fireside chat style interviews in the next coming months. We've got a great lineup of Italian wine producers. So, and it's never too late to nominate your favorite Italian wine producer. More the merrier, if you will. So let's get this started. I see Cynthia, our interviewer, and Alberto, interviewee. Let me just remind you, as usual, this room will be recorded and maybe replayed on the Italian Wine Podcast, most likely on Saturdays, but Joy, our producer, is in charge of the programming. She's the boss, so she can and will decide, indeed. I'm delighted to present to you our first guest podcaster today. Her name is Cynthia Chaplin, our new, spanking new Vinitaly International Academy ambassador. Congratulations, Cynthia. And Cynthia will kick off with our very first episode of our series, Ambassador's Corner, here on Italian Wine Club. Let me quickly just give you a short bio of Cynthia, then I'm going to shut up forever. I know it's hard to believe. Cynthia Chaplin is truly international, as she was born in stateside, moved to Europe. She has lived in Spain, in Belgium, in France, in England, and finally in Italy. What a sucker. She is a qualified sommelier with Fondazione Italiana Sommelier. That's the other group, other than the ICE. Of course, I said she's a VI ambassador and member of Le Donne del Vino. I actually have an honorary membership myself, currently an editor for infowine.com. She's also a professor of Italian wine and culture at Lorenzo de' Medici International Institute in Rome. She works with embassies, corporations, private clients, blah, blah, blah. I can go on and on forever, but I'll just stop here for now. And let me just welcome Cynthia so she can take it away. Hi, Cynthia. So, Cynthia, tell us why you selected Alberto Tosca as your favorite producer. And how did you discover the wines of Tosca d'Almerita?
Well, I've been a fan of Tosca d'Almerita for many years. I discovered them on a trip to Sicily a long time ago, and they've been my top go-to wines when I'm teaching or presenting about Sicily. So great chance for me to have the ear of Alberto tonight. But also, when he was on Clubhouse a few weeks ago, he only got to talk about Etna. So I have a lot of other questions that I wanted to ask him.
Okay, great. Cynthia, take it away. Our tradition is kind of start with a learning objectives. What are the learning objectives for today for our audience?
Well, one of the things I'm really interested in is Tosca d'Almerita is part of the Sustain initiative with sustainability in Sicily. And the Ministry of Agriculture recently decreed that this initiative is going to go all across Italy. So I want to hear how this is going to affect our vineyards and our industry. I want to congratulate Alberto about his Robert Parker Green Emblem Award last month for sustainability. And I want to hear his thoughts on how to apply the three pillars of sustainability, environment, economic, and social, to vineyards and to wine in Italy.
Great. Okay, take it away, Cynthia. I will shut up. Now you can welcome Alberto Tasca directly.
Ciao, Alberto. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's really a pleasure to have you.
Hi, Cynthia. How are you? And hi, Stevie. You know I love you. Your blonde hair is always my dream.
I'm supposed to shut up. Shut up. Okay.
Hi, Cynthia. And thank you for your great word. And thank you for choosing me.
No, it's my pleasure. The last time you were on Clubhouse, Stevie mentioned that Tasca di Almarita is sort of the Antinori of the South. So tonight, I think you and I need to talk about why Antinori should be the Tasca of the North.
That's a good point of view. I totally agree with you. But you know, her blend higher sometimes made some mistakes when she'd say it. She loves to talk and... No, I'm just kidding. Antinori.
I'm still here. I'm just saying.
Yeah, sorry about that. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, of course, it's a really compliment because I'm in Antinori family and a few other family made the Italian wine what it is now. And then so I can be only grateful to them.
Well, that is kind and generous. And I would expect nothing less of you, Alberto. So thank you for that. Before we get on to some more questions that I want to ask you, I do want to dive into this learning objective about sustainability. I was really excited to see that you got the green emblem from Robert Parker. Very few companies in the world have that. Can you just tell us a little bit about what Sustain is and the importance of this project in Italy?
Yes, for sure. So I'm really proud of it, of course, and that's make. I mean, last year we were named by Wine Enthusiasts even like best wine in Europe for the same reason. So it means that probably we worked well with sustainability. So Sustain is a protocol and it's a discipline that we have to follow. And we spend more than 12 years to let it be as it is today, and we had a lot of help from the Minister of Environment, the Italian Minister of Environment, and they developed some measure like the Protocol of Viva that can help us to measure our carbon foot or water footprint and that's really important that we all have, and we should have in all the entire world the same kind of measure of it. And so that was really important. So to find something that can measure our impact. So why we start this? This trip during the sustainability. It was around 12 years ago, and I thought that it was a little bit of confusion in terms of. For consumer and even for producer about organic, biodynamic, natural wine, conventional. Everybody used to call us conventional because we were not biodynamic or not organic. And that was really, really difficult to understand to me because, I mean, we grow in the vineyards, so we know what we do and we spend a lot of time there. So. The idea was to understand what was the different of impact of the different agricultural or best practice that we had. And I jumped in a man, and he's a professor in Piacenza, in the Università Cattolica di Piacenza, it's Ettore Capri, and he told me, Alberto, you are talking about sustainability. Sustainability means that you measure all the impact of your action. So my focus at the beginning was on the best agricultural best practice, and then I jump in and the sustainability in general, that understanding that our impact is not just on agriculture or not just on environment, but is in everything. And whatever we do, I mean, we have an impact on other people or other environment or something else. So that means that if you can achieve more knowledge, so it's a discipline that measure your impact. That means with discipline and measuring everything, you have much more know-how, and especially for the decision-making process. I mean, where you are helpful by number or by scientific approach, and try to make the right choice with knowledge, and not just because of my philosophy is. And the other things that I think is really great and nice in sustainability approach is that you cannot be narcissist. You cannot think about just you and yourself. You have to think about the community, the world. The word that is more used in the sustainability process is to share. So it's really nice because we started to that process in Sicily with other company. That means that our managers work together, they share competence, they share problem. We ask to the scientific community to find solution, and they work all together. We work all together to find the best way for the common, I mean, wellness.
That's great, Alberto. Thank you so much. It sounds like the most amazing project. And I'm glad to hear that the ministry and the Unione Italiana Vini is getting behind this and going to put it forward as a protocol and a theme for all of Italy. That's going to be really helpful.
Yeah, since I think there is so the Minister of Agriculture now is working hard to make a protocol, a national protocol. What I see after a few years, not few, but more than a decade working on sustainability, that is really important that we have a common protocol, common discipline, but we have to put our sustainability in the context where we are. So I think Sicily is an island, so it's really easy, but we will find that we should find different cluster around Italy. The same things inside Sicily. So I think the sustainability that we need in Etna is different than what we need from in the center of Sicily or in the southern or close to the coast. So each place needs its approach, and that would be the next evolution. So we need to understand the common language to understand sustainability. It's not easy for consumer to understand what is good and what is bad. I don't think we can never be sustainable at 100%, but it's really important that everybody of us, even Stevie with her job, try to measure her impact and our impact. And it's really important that we start to buy things, to invest money in something that we don't know is controlled by the driving of sustainability. So by somebody that wants, really don't have a bad impact into the world. That I think is really, really important.
That's fantastic. Thank you. It's clear that you're going to be a leader in this. So I'm looking forward to seeing how you carry your voice through for the next 10 years after you've started the last 10 years. I think, you know, I have a lot of children. I know that sustainability is going to be very important, not only in our industry, but as you said, in a lot of other ways. So thank you so much for being so passionate about it. I just wanted to ask you a couple of other questions, because you've been in the business, your family, for over 200 years. So you have a long experience and a long history, and five different estates across Sicily. So really five different Sicilian winemaking stories. And whenever I look at Tosca, Regale Ale always strikes me as sort of the heart of the company. Many of your best known wines like Riserva del Conte and Nozze d'Oro come from that estate. So I just wanted to ask, which of the five is your personal favorite? Which one excites you the most?
Yeah, oh, for sure, Regale Ale is our mother estate. It's where everything born with us. I mean, my family invested there in the 1830. We grow up there. Every Christmas we meet all there. So it's a family place. It's our home. And in terms of dimension, it's really it's quite big, and then can help us to make a lot of experimentation and a lot of study in agriculture. So I think it's the engine and the heart of our all estates. And the process to go and to try to find Other estates around Sicily started in around 2001 when I already was working in our company. I started in 93 and traveling a lot. I always had the perception that Sicily was perceived as a flat island and all the same. And so few wines were known in the market, like the Nero d'Avola. But I mean, as it was like just one Nero d'Avola, the same Nero d'Avola in all around Sicily. And now that you know Sicily now, and Sicily is a treasure of diversity, is in terms of cultural way, but even in terms of landscape or climate, and it's really diverse. We have vulcan, we have mountain, we have small highlands, and so it's just things about that. Just in Regaliali, we have 12 different kind of soils and 5 hills, and this is just an estate. So I think diversity was really important to the perception of Sicily, and so I start to look for different estate and with special attitude and different attitude that were really clear. And I jumped in few of the most beautiful place, I think, in Sicily. We started in Salina in the Olio Highlands with Capofaro. We produced there the Malvasia. There is a really whole tradition of production of Malvasia delle Lipari in the version of sweet wine. Then we jump even in the dry version that is doing really successful. Then from there we jump to Mozia, that is another beautiful and unique place. Mozia is a small highland close to Marsala, close to Trapani. It was the most important Phoenician site in the history. So the Phoenicians were based there. They were protected about the morphology of this small highland close to the coast. They work hard there. Then British guys buy the entire island, and he start to plant in even these varieties that is called Grillo, that I didn't know before jumping in Mozia, and it was 2004. So, and then from there we discovered the potential of Grillo and the unique place that is Mozia. Then from there we jumped to the appellation that is called Monreale, that is a really particular area with the great attitude for the Syrah production, and Syrah has a really strong tradition even in Sicily, but it's not an easy varietal. So it's a varietal that, for example, in Regaliali can be really great every 4 years, or you jump every time 3 years, so it's not sustainable to produce the Syrah there. And in the appellation of Doc Monreale, it found the perfect climate adaptation, so the wines from Syrah that came from there are really great. And then the last place was in 2007, after 5 years of research, was the Etna. And even Etna is like all the other places, its own attitude with a great combination between varieties and place and climate. And there are Nerello Mascalese and Caricante works in a unique way. It's really not, you cannot make the same Nerello Mascalese in other place around the world. And even in Sicily, you cannot find other place that have the same combination. So the idea was to find to discover new and different place with great attitude. My heart is still in Regaliali, but I can tell you that all the other estates are, I mean, part of the same game, or like kids.
That is a very diplomatic answer. I love that. I'm not gonna press you harder on that. I like that your heart is at Regaliali, but all of your other projects sound so interesting. And I know that all the work that's coming out of there is fascinating. I love trying the wines as they emerge. Talking about your wines, so many of them have really fascinating names. You know, two of them dedicated to your parents' wedding anniversary, Signas, talking about the swans from Villa Tasca. I'm just wondering, who names the wines? Do you get to name the wines?
So first of all, I have to tell you that I promise you. So I cannot invest or putting energy and time on something that I really don't love. So all the other estates are the same. I mean, have the same value of Regaliali because of. I mean, I love the places. Like when you find your house, I mean, you cannot invest time or energy or money in a place where you don't think there is something special there. Then about naming, yes, I come from a really anachronistic and romantic family. So my grandfather used to teach me that to conquest your worst enemy, you have to love him. That's the way he was thinking about life. So it was love, 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 and they started to name a wine with dedication, like Nozze d'Oro, that means gold wedding, and was dedicated to my grand. Parents' anniversary of 50 years of marriage, and the other one, yes, and then the Riserva del Conte was the name of the count, was my grandfather, and say, okay, I love this wine, I will do the best wine in the world, I will name like my wine, so the Riserva del Conte. So he was a really proud man. And yes, then I love that. I mean, to name the wine. I think wines are like us as persons. So there are a multitude of wines. So when I produce a wine, I want to see. I really need a reason why to produce another wine in the world. And so each wine has to have its own life project and a strong reason why. At the same time, even characters. So the names are really, to me, always dedicated to the wine, to the history that the wine has. And as you mentioned, Cinius came from our garden in Palermo in Villa Tasca, where Richard Wagner and the Parsifal. And we have a small lake in the villa with two swans, and Cinius means swans. Another wine that has a strong wine. I mean, it was probably for sure. The first name that I gave to a wine was is Leone. Leone was a really ambitious project that started in 1998. The project was to produce a wine with aromatic varietals that can show that Sicily in high altitude in the central of Sicily was something that can express really great elegance and longevity, and Leone is a symbol of our crest. It's the meaning of Leone is the powerful and the even to be ways, and that's what. So it was a really ambitious project as and we gave this name, and then we had, I don't know, like for example, Lamuri, that means passion and love for what you do, and that's for the Nero d'Avola that we produce in the Regaliali estate. Or thinking about the last name and then the last wine that we produce is coming after COVID. It's called Buonsenso. Buonsenso, and the varietal is a Cataratto, and it's really. I mean, it's really important because and during COVID, we have time to think. We have time to reinvent, not reinvent totally, but to rethink about our life, about how many stupid things we do and how many things we miss. And so I found that the best way is to, it's like a wine. You have to find a common sense, the best balance. So to be a great person or to be a great, is not easy at all. So you have to work hard and you have to find your inside harmony, your balance. You have to, you can be a little bit, aggressive on your life, but at the end of the game, you have to find, again, the balance. There is a way to Cataratto is a great variety that was already present in Regaliali. It was not very known. The name is really difficult, but the produce Cataratto there, it makes something that makes a lot of sense, and that's why we call it Buonsenso, but it's even related to the fact that from COVID, we learned that we have to work hard to find the right balance to be more sustainable and more good.
I love that. I'm looking forward to trying Buonsenso now. Cataratto is one of my favorite grapes. I love Sicily because there are so many different varietals that really only grow there. So now I have a new one on my list from Tasca to taste as soon as I can. One of my favorites is one of your Grillos that's called Cavallo delle Fate, the horse of the fairies. about the cricket. So I've always loved names of your wine. So Buon Senso is going to the list, Alberto. I'm going to have to try that as soon as I can. Talking about COVID, and right before COVID hit, you had two big awards, the Wine and Spirits Magazine Best 100 Wineries of the World, and then the Wine Enthusiast European Winery of the Year. And I'm just wondering, when COVID hit, you know, in the global pandemic, how did that affect Tosca?
The effect was a disaster. We were totally, so, I mean, think about our market is 95% the HoReCa market, and then the HoReCa market was totally closed. We also own two restaurants and a small resort in the Eolian Highlands. So everything's effect and impact to us really strong, in a strong way. The fact that it was good was that we had the time to rethink about what we were doing. And I think with the project of sustainability, we were on the right wave. And that was really important. And we received all this achievement, even and if we didn't, I mean, as you say, use them in the market because the market was closed. I mean, it was something that gave us a lot of conscience and even as you said, the effort to go in the same direction. So I think COVID was really bad for many things, was really sad in many situations. I lose friends and really strong friends. Was really hard to understand. To me, it was personally difficult because so managing a company, you have many people that ask you, what will happen, what next? And of course, I didn't have any answer for many months. Just to try to relax them. But at the same time, we had the opportunity to rethink many things that were, on a comfort protocol, and we were doing the same thing. So I'm thinking about what we are doing now. This is an opportunity that happened with all the digital instrument to meet people, investing a couple of hours, and to talk together without taking a plane and going to the other part of the world, and just for the same reason why. So in terms of energy cost and even carbon footprint, I think we had many advantages even in this way.
I think it's great that you were able to turn such a difficult and painful year into an opportunity that's positive, not just for your company, but for everyone who works for you, and bearing in mind your dedication to the sustainability. I really like that. It was a difficult year, and to be able to find positivity in there speaks volumes about what you do and what TASC is all about. It's something I've wanted to ask you for ages. You know, you're the eighth generation in your family's winemaking history. Obviously, your family is so important to you. You know, Regaliale, all the people who work for you. You obviously care so much about them all. And I'm just wondering about sort of on a daily basis. You know, does your father still have a hand in the business, even though he's technically retired? And do you think your children will follow you into the business? And do you want them to do that?
So, no, my father, of course, when you work in the family companies, there are some really great volume and some other value, I mean, or mechanisms that are really hard to manage. And I had the opportunity to work with my father and my grandfather in the same, and my brother, also my brother in the same period. And it was amazing. Even if we had, of course, a different approach to things and to on the way of managing the business, but the same way is, I mean, the direction, what we learn, and I think all of us, that's, I mean, the only things is that is important is the state, is the land, is the, now we name this as a company, but is the land and what the land can give us, and the result of our hard job that make the right decision. It's not something that has to be part of my life or I mean, my life doesn't have an bad impact into the company. And this approach is really different. And so we are trying to, we are a land keeper. We are trying to keep this land and to give to the next generation. So our decision is not just personal, but it's for the future of the land, for all the people that work with us since three, four, five generations. I'm so lucky to find person that know more than me what's happened in my company in the past, because their grandparents told to their grandparents and then to their father and then to them and then to me. So it's something that was really special. My father is not working in terms of operational anymore, but he's always give me a lot of help and comfort. You know, agriculture is really tough. There is no one harvest same to the other one, so experience is really important. And even his experience eyes are really important. When we drive through the vineyards, he can he tell me to stop sometime and say, oh, what's happened there? So he can see things that I cannot see. So it's really wonderful to have his help. And it's really wonderful to work with people from many generations that are really committed to the land and to what we do.
I think all of us want to come and work for Tosca now. It sounds like such a good family environment and so supportive.
No, not me. Me not. Okay.
We don't like natural blonde girls like you, Stevie.
Listen, I'm gonna cut you guys off just for one nanosecond. First of all, what a great thorough interview. And let me just hold on. I have a special effect. I know, my kids say it's really cringy, but I thought it was, this is why I really wanted to do the Ambassador's Corner. And Cynthia, great questions for Alberto Tosca. I would now like to, we're halfway into the call today on Italian Wine Club. If you have a question for Alberto or Cynthia, please raise your hands and I'll bring you up onto the stage. In the meantime, I'm going to bring Laika up because she is the stage manager. And I would like to tell us who's up next, the next 2 weeks. Laika?
For next week, we're going to have Elena Fucci. She's going to be interviewed by Xiao and Du. So it's going to be on Thursdays, July 15 at 8 p.m. And then on the next Thursday, next Thursday, we have Jill Gordon-Smith. She will be interviewing Cristiana Tiberios at 9 p.m. So there's some time difference problems so that we were able to settle at this time. So it's quite a little bit late for some, but at least everyone can catch up. And don't forget, we're going to record this and may be able to upload it at the Italian Wine Podcast for those who would like to listen.
Very good. I don't know when it's going to go live, but yes, definitely we will play this in its entirety on Italian Wine Podcast. We've just celebrated a million listens, and it's taken us 4 years, but most of it actually was the past 12 months during the pandemic. So we're very excited, and average listen is about 1,000 and 2,000, so we can replay for all the others. If I see a bunch of people, Melissa, Slava, Patty, Margarita, Paul, Sue Tolson, we've missed you. Jody, Cheeto, Annie, congratulations again. Carla Ovashi, I know I have to write to you. Tugba, Gunnar, Alice, Francesco, our Italian wine experts, and a bunch of other people in second row. I know you guys have a bunch of questions. If you'd like to raise your hand, please do that now. In the meantime, let me ask a question to Alberto, one not so serious. So, you know, I used to always wonder how come BlackBerry was always in the business? And I've discovered that one day I was in Sicily and I saw Alberto Tosca, Antonio Rallo, and then Alessio Planeta with BlackBerries. And then I knew the Sicilians had cornered the BlackBerry market. Have you still got a BlackBerry, Alberto?
Yes, of course. I kept all of them. My relationship with BlackBerry was fully love. So I was really really sad when I jumped to other device.
Yeah, it's really a crazy story. I have this like beautiful picture of the three of them with their Blackberries. It's unforgettable. Maybe I'll try to find that. Listen, Alberto, I have kind of a serious question for you though.
It's impossible.
Yeah, so no, I do. I really feel like, you know, the three people I've mentioned, the three families, the Rallos and the Tasca d'Almerita and Planeta from Lucio, of course, and Diego Planeta and Giacomo Rallo. I feel like you are the poster child or the benchmark of this thing that the Italians call cambio generazionale or ricambio generazionale, which means kind of the generational change and turnover. I feel like this happens, you know, in the wine industry quite often, but not always so successfully. And I always felt like you guys did this together in symbiosis, in a very harmonized way. How did you guys do that?
I don't know how. I mean, for sure, I mean, our parents gave us an example of how to play the same game and to play together. So what happened in Sicily, I think it's a really great revolution and now an evolution. And I think we learn how to talk together, how to sit on the same table and think about what is the best for Sicily instead of thinking about just of our brands. And the other way that we are all hard workers. We love to work. We work with what we do, and you can feel it. And so when we have fun, when we work together, and that's really great. We are also friends. We fight, but we are also friends, and it's an alchemy. So we are lucky.
So I know that you know, of course, every year with the Tarmino Gourmet. They help organize an incoming from the Via community, and I believe it's also in October this year. So hopefully we can come and visit at least a few of us. Hopefully in the fall the COVID situation will be stable at least. So we are very much looking forward coming back to Sicily, one of my favorite places in the entire world.
Thank you, Stevie. I think we are all, of course, invited from us. I mean, we are really happy to show what we have done. We do every year, and instead of course, with the pandemic, we had to stop it. But every year we invite many people to visit us in Sicilian Premier. We call the organization.
When is Sicilia on Premier this year?
Normally it's in springtime, so it's between March, April, or first May, and close to the Vinitaly, before or after Vinitaly, depending when Vinitaly is. And in springtime, normally we can present the new vintages, what happened, and we always gave a big picture of the evolution of the Sicilian wine region. And I think it's also a great experience to join us, because we do every time in a different place, so we go around. And it's another way to discover Sicily, so not just with number, but living different place.
So, you know, we have a bunch of people even today in the room. I don't know if any of them had participated in the Sicilia en Primeur. If they are interested, how can they apply to participate?
Yeah, so...
How does it work?
It works like this. So normally, we dedicate all the invitation for journalists, or for not only for wine journalists, but journalists in general, or people that can, of course, tell to everybody what they see and write or put on the web what we do. The way is to follow Assovini Sicilia. Assovini is the first organization that was made in Sicily by our parents, Lucio, Giacomo, and Diego. And is the organization that take care about Sicilian Premier every year. So I think if you write down an email on Assovini Sicilia, you can find that you can have any answer from them. or if you not, just try to look for us as producer, and we will put you in touch with the organization.
That's great, because you know I'm sure many of the members from the community would like to participate if they can in the future. So, listen, I'm going to close up the room if there aren't any questions. Cynthia, would you like to have the last remark?
I've got one last question.
Oh, you do? Sorry about that. I cut you up before.
No. I just wanted to ask one last question, and this is just a personal preference, Alberto. I know you've spoken a lot about the winery on Etna, and the wines that are coming out of there are amazing. And I just want to know, is there any chance of a sparkling Nerello Mascalese, a Methodo Classico coming out of there, either a Blanc Noir or a Rosé?
Good question.
Yeah, we had many requests on that. Honestly speaking, we didn't start any project on a sparkling wine there. We are still focusing on being more precise on what we do with the sealed wines, but it is an idea. The idea come up on the table during the pandemic with my team. So probably yes, but I mean, if you follow us, we are not so fast in the project. So once we decide to make a project, we need to do it very precisely. So we need time to make it happen.
Well, keep that idea on the table, because I think it would be great. So I'm glad to know that at least it's out there.
But as you know, I don't know if you know, but we are really, focused on me. We already produce a sparkling wine, so in three versions, that is quite an hard job and take a lot of time and space, even in the cellar with the, and we do it in Regaliali in high altitude with the Almerita project, and that started in 1989. And so now it's quite, not large, but really not easy production of all sparkling wine.
That's kind of why I asked the question, because I love those sparkling wines from Regaliale. I love Almeritas. So I'm hoping, and my fingers are crossed, that Nerello Mascalese is going to come from Tasca di Almerito, from Tascante on Etna, in a sparkling version. Looking forward to that.
I will work on it. That's
just for Cynthia.
Sure, I promise you that. Yeah, then I will work for Cynthia for the idea and to try to make the project.
Listen,
I will put it on the table.
I have one last question. So for audience, of course we know what Assovini is and Sicilia DOC is, mm-hmm. Okay? But can you explain to our audience the differences in terms of what you do as two different organizations?
Yeah, now we have three different organizations.
Oh, geez. Of course, yes. You're Italians.
Yes. No,
what's the third organization?
It's the Foundation of Sustainable Sustain Sicilia Foundation.
Okay. But that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So tell us the difference.
So everything starts with Assovini Sicilia. And Assovini is an association, is of course, for voluntary people. So we are not paying being part of the association. And the idea from my father and two other gentlemen were Diego Planeta and Giacomo Rallo was to create a group of producers that can stay together, talk together, analyze together the situation of Sicily, and try to push even the government and the institution in Sicily to make good things, and that happened. It's they made a great job. The now I think it's Assovini is representing the 95% of the bottled wine that we sell in Sicily. So they made a really great job from Assovini. We start to create another organization that is the Consortio of DOC Sicilia. So we create the DOC of the Highland of Sicily.
And when was that?
And that was in 2012.
Yes.
Also, first vintages. Of course, that's when happened. But before, when we start to think, it was like almost 20 years before. And that's how it was not an easy job to make it happen. And the consortium is quite different. It's an institutional that they care about to protect our appellation, to protect our indigenous grape varieties, and to promote the brand Sicilia around the world. And so even this association is doing a really great job inside. We are many different producers inside the same organization that take care about and promote about Sicily with cooperative, single, small company, big company, all together we do this job. And the foundation board was born during the pandemic, and the idea was to promote the sustained protocol around Sicily to even there, we spend a lot of time without, I mean, any money to create things that can help all of us to improve and to make great things.
Oh my God! There's a huge storm, and I'm looking at from my office. I'm going. It's like cats and dogs and a lot of lightning in Verona right now. All right, listen. I'm going to close up the room. And thank you so much, Alberto, for joining us today. This was our first episode from the Ambassador's Corner. And we will, of course, replay it on Italian Wine Podcast. So, and Cynthia, great job. Thank you so much for doing this. I knew this was the right thing to do, to give a voice to all of the other ambassadors, to ask questions directly to the producers. That way, you know, in between I go get a drink at the bar, I drink a couple of glasses, I come back, and you guys are still going. It's nice. I love it.
Thanks for having me, Stevie.
Okay. And then sigla. Ciao, Alberto. Grazie.
Ciao, ciao a tutti. Grazie. Ciao, Cinzia.
Ciao. Ciao.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.